Welcome to the One Wyoming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. You can follow me on X at @by_RyanThorburn. The link to all of my Pokes Insiders stories is in that bio. Make sure you bookmark that to keep up with all things Cowboys and Cowgirls as the 26-27 seasons are underway. And that includes volleyball. Our guest this week is Wyoming head volleyball coach Kaylee Prigge. The Cowgirls host Texas Tech on Friday at 6:30 p.m. If you like video podcasts, you can catch the video version of this interview on Mountain West Plus, and you're going to want to get a subscription because that's where you can stream Cowgirls versus Red Raiders from the Arena Auditorium, a big match to start off the season. We will talk to Kaylee right after this message from the UniWyo Credit Union. UniWyo Credit Union is proud to sponsor Wyoming Athletics on the field, on the court, and across the Cowboy State. Together, they're helping to better people's lives.
It's crazy, but you're in your fourth year as head coach already. Eighth year at Wyoming already. You've been around some really successful Wyoming teams. You've ridden the highs and lows of all the changes in the NCAA recently. You just had an exhibition in Greeley against UNC. How are you feeling right now about the 2026 Cowgirls?
I'm extremely excited about the 2026 Cowgirls. They've worked extremely hard. We had a great spring. We took the team to Europe in May. We've had an excellent preseason. The exhibition down in Greeley, we played back-to-back to help us kind of prepare for how conference play is going to go this year. And we open this Friday with Texas Tech. I can't believe it's here.
Yeah, 6:30 p.m. Friday in the AA, Texas Tech, Big 12 opponent. Obviously, we're going to get into the season and how big this match is for a variety of reasons, but I want fans to kind of get to know you a little bit. Your dad, Dirk Cutter, is a notable head football coach, you know, Boise State, Arizona State, in the NFL with the Buccaneers as head coach and OC around the NFL. What was it like being the daughter of a head football coach growing up? And probably you had to live in a lot of different parts of the country, right?
Yeah, we moved around quite a bit. I'm the oldest of four kids and two boys and two girls. And I think moving made us super tight. My mom was an absolute rock star. Like, she was almost a single parent and got us everywhere we needed to be. We moved on average about every 3 years, and new sports teams, new schools, music lessons, whatever it was on her to figure that stuff out. And so, yeah, but it was a huge blessing. I've been around really high level teams my entire life. And I think it gave me a unique perspective on sports, on teams, and on life that I wouldn't have otherwise. So, yeah, huge blessing in terms of my upbringing, for sure.
How about as a kid, as far as observing your father as a coach, and how did he handle the pressure of being an NFL head coach or the head coach of a major football program? And what did you take away from watching him as a kid deal with that?
Mm-hmm. Well, so my grandpa was a football coach, my dad's dad. He was a high school football coach and then a college football coach at Idaho State. So I think my dad lived his whole childhood in life knowing that he wanted to be just like his dad. And so he was preparing for it his entire life. And I think that was just his personality. Like, it wasn't, you know, some coaches, I think, turn it on and then turn it off. That's not my dad. It's my dad's whole life and it's his personality and that's how he lives. And so he was super authentic to himself the entire time. By the time he was a head coach in the NFL, I don't think the pressure got to him. I think he was extremely comfortable with who he was and what he was doing and what his strengths were. The first time I noticed pressure was probably at Arizona State. I was around middle school, high school age. I knew he was somebody who was going to outwork his opponents. We talk about fail to prepare to fail. And that's my dad. He was never going to not be prepared. He says, do your job to the best of your ability and the rest takes care of itself. And I think those are things that had stuck with me.
I know you two talk a lot and he comes to a lot of the matches and he's retired in Idaho. You're playing Boise State in Idaho again this year. And that's been an annual fun road trip for the Cowgirls. When you talk to your dad about coaching, you know, volleyball is a team sport. Football is a much larger team, but what do you talk about as far as culture and even tactics with him?
Yeah. Well, he's gotten a lot better in terms of volleyball knowledge, especially in the last couple of years. But it's super fun to bounce stuff off of him. I have my youngest brother of the four is also a football coach. He is the assistant receivers coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I love having conversations with both of them in terms of what they're doing and sparking ideas and bouncing things off of each other. I think leadership is huge. And my dad is big on like keeping things positive when we can. But ultimately, it all goes back to what am I doing to prepare and outworking people. And I think those are the things that always stem back when I think about my dad.
Yeah, your brother Davis gets to coach Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, who a lot of you watching, they're probably on your fantasy football team. So that's a pretty good starting point in the NFL. But all you guys moving around the country, did you have a favorite spot? I know you played volleyball at Tampa Bay. Obviously, your dad was the Bucs head coach. Was that just the timing of it, or did you like Tampa Bay?
I love Tampa. I don't see myself living in Florida again, but if I had to, I would choose Tampa in a heartbeat. Boise, Idaho is high on our list for sure. But I think there's pros and cons about everything. And I think that's one of the things about moving around is like it's the people that make a place, and you're going to make connections and you're going to be just fine and you're going to be able to adjust. And I think it gave us an independence. It gave us a confidence about ourselves that, again, kind of alludes back to that perspective that just not everybody has.
Tampa Bay has, you know, a tradition of championships. And when you were playing there, did you think, when I'm done with this, I might get into coaching? Or were you just going with the flow and after college you figured that out?
Yeah, it's funny. Like I said, my dad knew he wanted to be a coach his entire life because his dad was. I never even thought that was a possibility or a thought in my head at all until about my sophomore year of college when my college coach started telling me I think he'd be a really good coach. And at the time, I thought that was the biggest insult of all time. I was trying to be a good player. And then our assistant coach in college owned a club. And so all of us coached club teams as assistant coaches in our offseason in the spring. And that's where I got my first taste of it and just absolutely fell in love. I had a marketing degree, so after I graduated, I got a job. I was living in New York City and I was talking to my college coach on the phone like once a week. And I think he was just sick of talking to me all the time. And he said, you're going to regret it if you don't give this a shot. And so I came back and worked with him for two seasons. And then the rest is history. I never looked back.
Yeah. And then you were an assistant at Southern Illinois, I believe, and UIC in Chicago. How did you end up coming to Laramie? And staying at Laramie, I guess, for this amount of time?
Yeah, at the time, my parents were in Atlanta, and I knew they were probably going to retire in Boise, Idaho, and I didn't know a lot of people on the West Coast at all in volleyball. So I got a cold email from Chad Callahan, my predecessor, who is a huge mentor of mine and I respect a ton, and he was looking for an assistant coach, and I had heard of him before because my younger sister started her college volleyball career at Georgia Southern, which is where Chad had come from. And so he never coached her, but we had a couple people in common because of that. And so I hopped on the phone with him and then came out here for an interview and drove up 287 and the mountains and just fell in love with it. And the rest is history.
And you met your husband, Peter Prigge, here at Wyoming. He keeps our athletic department in compliance with all these chaos events going on around the country. You guys have a son, Peyton. You had to do maternity leave during the 24 season. How have you balanced being a head coach of the volleyball program and starting a family at the same time?
Yeah, I don't think I'm perfect at it, and I'm definitely still learning how to do that. But my husband's a rock star, and I couldn't do it without him. And his flexibility of his job obviously really, really helps with the rigidness of mine. Yeah, I think having Peyton in the mix has only made things richer and more exciting and made me want to work even harder for our team and for him.
What do you guys like to do outside of athletics, as a hobby or just for fun or just to forget about the stress of it all at times?
Yeah. Well, my family's really spread out. Peter's from Wisconsin, so we love spending time with family when we can get out of town and do that. My husband's a huge golfer, so we love being out at the golf course and running around. Peyton's got a couple different sets of golf clubs already that we're trying to swing around a little bit. But really just keeping up with him and trying to get him into things and follow him around and do whatever he wants to do.
A birdie told me that you are interested in training to be an open water swimmer in some fashion.
I love swimming, and I would love to train to do be an open water. The lake in Idaho that Peter and I got married at hosts a race every year. It kind of conflicts with my schedule. I got to figure out a different race. But I think that would be awesome. I love being in the water. I love swimming. In another lifetime, maybe I would have been a swimmer.
So no triathlon. You just want to do the swimming leg?
Running is not for me. Swimming I love, but running is not for me.
You touched on this European trip you guys went on to the Czech Republic, Slovenia, Italy, and the correlation that might have to just the bond of this team and what that could lead to as far as the Mountain West race. What was your last impression of that trip for this group?
Yeah, I was just so impressed with our team. Like, I just thought they were so intentional with their time on and off the court that they had multiple opportunities to do their own thing. And half, if not more, of those times, they did something all together. And then we were really challenged from a volleyball standpoint. We had an opportunity to play a senior national team and then the Italian U22 team. Italy obviously won the last indoor Olympics in volleyball, so they were very, very strong. And we just got pushed. And we had to face some adversity in terms of just doing things a different way. They warm up differently. Not all the gyms have AC. It's a different ball. It's a different style of play. So you're walking into their environment and really have to adapt pretty quickly. And so, yeah, I was just so impressed with our team and the way they embraced the opportunity and the experience and just left feeling so, so excited about this group and the season ahead of us.
And they've all been here since July training daily. And then you guys had a Jay Foundation event in Casper. You have 5 in-state players on your roster, including 2 from Casper. Was that just more of the extension of Europe, just spending the summer together and doing other things?
Yeah, it was huge. I think, you know, the Jay Foundation has been a pillar in terms of Wyoming athletics and a great partner for athletic department. And we hadn't done a team retreat yet. And so it was something high on our list that we had just been wanting to do. But the team loved it. And we had 2 brand new girls joining us for the first time. And that was like day 2 of them being here was that. And we just ripped off the Band-Aid right away. And I think we got pretty vulnerable right out the gate. So, yeah, I think it was awesome. Casper was great. And it was actually a Wyoming volleyball alum that led that retreat for us and Jansen Curry. So that was cool, too. Just another connection to our program that led the whole retreat.
I know one of your favorite traditions of Wyoming volleyball is you guys get the season tickets and hand them out to all of the Laramie season ticket holders. Obviously, the UNIYO is a great venue for volleyball and a great home court advantage. What's the connection like between Wyoming volleyball and the fan base you guys have?
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. The girls, it's a great part of the experience of being a student athlete here is our community cares. Not just our community, our state. The hand delivering season tickets is a no brainer. It's another touch point. Our girls love it. The season ticket holders love it. And there's just something new every year that's hilarious that pops up about it. I think it's huge for us to pack the UNIYO, and our fans are so supportive. It's so loud in there. There's barely any chair backs. It's not the most comfortable seat ever, but they're there. Doesn't matter. We make it pretty uncomfy for our opponents, which we love.
You guys won 13 Mountain West games last year, finished 3rd in the conference, which is the highest among the returning teams of this new-look Mountain West. 2-time All-Mountain West player and Paige Lauterwasser. She's kind of the headliner, but you have some other really good pieces in place. Emma Winter, a senior, told me that the intra-squad scrimmage is, you know, maybe one of your more competitive matches, the way you guys are going at it. How do you feel just about the makeup of this team with some of those experienced players and then young players and new players?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit of a mix of everything there. Obviously, Paige is a staple, returned both setters that started in a 6-2 for us last year. And then Emma as one of those opposites. Some returners that are stepping into some bigger roles this year, some transfers, some newbies, some freshmen. So we're excited about all of it. I think it's been a really fun dynamic. Our gym has been extremely competitive, which is a really positive thing.
Volleyball is one sport in the Mountain West where the changes in conference membership actually on paper make it a lot harder. You mentioned the three new teams coming in. Their RPI average was around 79 last year, and the teams that left was like 119 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak about this new look Mountain West and kind of the challenge this season?
Yeah, we're excited. It's a great problem to have that we're not going to have a night off. It's going to be competitive and it's going to be tough. And we're going to schedule our non-con accordingly. We're going to be tested in non-con, which is great. But yeah, UTEP is a great program. They've done a great job down there. They're picked to finish first this year, obviously, in the Mountain West. I think they finished between 17 and 21 in the RPI last year. Ben does an excellent job. They lose quite a bit to graduation, so they have a lot to replace, but they're going to be very, very talented. And then UC Davis lost in their conference championship in the Big West Conference last year to Cal Poly, who was our sports Cinderella in the NCAA tournament. They finished as a bubble team for an at-large bid. And then Hawaii was a little bit down last year, but obviously an extremely historic program with a brand new head coach. So we have our work cut out for us, but I think we're regularly going to be a two-bid league to the NCAA tournament in women's volleyball, which is really exciting. I think we might be one of, if not the most competitive mid-major conference in the country moving forward, which is awesome. That's what we want to be a part of.
And as you said, the scheduling gods did you guys a little bit of a favor because those three teams come to Laramie. And the Mountain West volleyball schedule is a little bit different in terms of Hawaii will play two here. Your road matches, you will play two, you know, matches in a row against conference opponents. It's efficient, obviously, less travel, but how do you feel about that?
Yeah, we did it during COVID. I wasn't a huge fan, and I kind of went into head coaches meetings feeling like adamant that was my absolute last option, like I wasn't about it. But the math just didn't really math, and the number of weeks we have and the number of teams we have, I wanted a balanced schedule, and so we voted, and that's what we landed on. And excited about not only the new teams presenting a new challenge, but the schedule format presenting its own challenges and how are we going to handle that. And I think it's hard to beat a team twice, period. But now we got to do it when all the emotions are fresh. And we're talking to our team about just our standards. And emotions are fine and good, but they can't be our leader. Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. But excited about everything ahead of us.
Obviously, it'll depend on who's playing who, but as a coach, do you think it's harder to sweep now, or you think there'll be more splits, or do you think there won't be more sweeps, I guess, when you're at home?
I think there's going to be splits. I think there'll be a lot of splits home and road. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. And again, even at UNC, we split. And so it'll be just interesting to see how it shakes out and how we adjust as it goes along.
Before the Red Raiders show up, let's get into that non-conference a little bit, because as you say, if it is a two-bid league, you want to have your RPI up there. You want to be an at-large consideration if you don't win the conference tournament. You guys play Utah. I mentioned you play Boise State. And of course, thankfully, the border war lives on and Colorado State is actually coming here in volleyball. We go there in most sports this year. Are you pretty pleased with this non-con? I mean, it's not going to be easy, but it could really help you out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited about our non-conference schedule. You mentioned CSU. The preseason poll for the Pac-12 came out today. They're picked to win it. They returned mostly everybody from last year, so I think that's going to be a great matchup and excited to have them here in Laramie for another border war. Utah is going to be a great matchup at their place. The other two teams at that tournament in Long Beach State and Eastern Illinois are both close to being NCAA tournament teams. We really packed the schedule this year with teams similar to the top of our conference. It's a lot of mid-major heavyweights that compete for NCAA tournament bids. And so it's a lot of 75-ish range RPI teams, which is going to be what we see in conference. So we're excited about that. And I think we're going to be very, very prepared.
So Friday night, Texas Tech, Wyoming, the Arena Auditorium. You know, Wyoming's attendance record is a little over 4,000, and that was when number one UCLA came here back in the day, and I think the second highest attendance, number two Nebraska, came here at one point. Texas Tech, a brand name, obviously, in football and men's basketball. But with the saddle up, with freshmen being here, what would it mean to you if you were able to set an attendance record to start out 2026?
It'd be huge. We'd be so excited. I think that's something that's kind of trendy in volleyball right now. It started a couple years ago with Nebraska doing the football day, volleyball day in the football stadium. And that spread, I was talking to a recruit who they're playing a high school match in their high school football stadium. So I think among all the changes, among all the uncertainty in college athletics right now, women's volleyball is growing. And it's a really, really exciting time to be a part of our sport. I think 4,000 when number one UCLA was here was in the early 90s. And so it's time. And again, I feel the support from our community and our state, and let's go do it.
Before I let you out of here, I mean, you mentioned the nostalgia of that era. Just to date myself, I was around at that point as a student in the early 90s. And, you know, Chad, you guys had some great teams. You've had 20 plus win teams, postseason tournaments. What would it mean to you to get Wyoming back in the NCAA tournament as they were in the 80s and, you know, just recreate that magic, I guess, in the UNIYO and starting out in the AA?
Man, it'd be huge. We'd be so, so fired up about that. And we're so close. We're so close. We're knocking on the door. And so I feel it. 2026, let's go do it.
All right. I want to thank my guest, Kaylee Prigge from Wyoming Volleyball, for being this week's One Wyoming podcast guest. Make sure you subscribe at Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, the list goes on. Give us a nice review and tell your friends. We'll talk to you soon.